Lorraine, thank you for coming on the show today. You look beautiful like you always do, so I just wanted to mention that first off.
Thank you, Marv. So, it's great to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So we're not going to talk too long about Vixen. I just want to have a few questions because you're probably getting bombarded with questions about what happened with the band. You're probably getting sick and tired of answering them. So just a couple,
just
okay?
That.
You said you were surprised that you the band let you go. Was there any indication like that this was going to happen? Were you surprised or?
No indication. I was getting ready for the summer tour. I mean, I have new outfits, for goodness sakes. I'm ready to rock the house. My body's ready. My voice is ready. I'm ready to go. I was so excited to get back out on tour, having the time of my life for sure. So no indication at all for me. I just was ready to rock. Like I'm always ready to rock.
We love rock and roll. We love listening to you. So have you spoken with any of the band members since you left at all?
And when you say since I left, clarity on that. I didn't leave. I did not leave the band. So different choice of words. I didn't leave. I didn't quit. And I made that really clear with my first interviews. The question is, have I talked with anybody? I've spoken, you know, I've been close with the girls for years. I've spoken with Britt, just texted me last night. We haven't been able to connect yet. I know that she's so busy with Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. Julia messaged me last week. And I know that she's getting ready to release some singles. So I definitely have communicated somewhat with Britt and Julia, not as normal, like when we're getting ready to go out on tour and we talk pretty much every day. But I definitely have been in touch with them. And that's all I've spoken to.
Right. Okay. So it seems like you want to move on though with this chapter in your life. You seem to be ready to whatever has the future holds for you. So can you tell me what your future holds then? What are your next plans?
Well, a couple of things. And I do want to say, you know, and again, everybody knows this. I've had the time of my life fronting this band. I mean, it was a dream come true for me, for sure. I mean, like, so excited to be with the girls and touring with them. 5 years is a long time. It's like a marriage. And so this is a different time for me. But I have great memories. Last summer was off the chart. I know 100% that I brought it every show. That's what I do. I'm here to rock. I'm here to get the crowd on their feet. I'm here to get the crowd to love the music and what we do. And so that doesn't change. You know, I have that energy and that vibe no matter what I'm working on. And now I just shift gears a little bit. You know, I've been working on my own music for a while. I had taken one of the songs. We actually worked on one of the songs together not a few months ago. It's been quite a few months. And I was hoping that was going to be something that we would work on an album together. And we were all in the studio working on the song. The song is called Home Is Where the Heart Is. And it's a great song. And so now I just shift gears. And that is my solo stuff. I've been in the studio with Lou Graham. Our plan is to record 3 songs together. We finished up vocals for one. And now we have to finish the music. So it's going to take some time. But I have a lot of solo type things going on. I love doing duets with people. In my mind's eye, I see releasing something that has more duets on them because I am in talks with other artists to do some more things. You know, it's a way for me to express myself in a way that people aren't used to hearing me. And so I'm loving the collabs. That is really fun. But as far as the big picture of what I have coming next, I have a lot of plans, a lot of things in the works. I'm in the studio in 9 days, laying something down with a producer that we are working together on a full album. However, we are working on this one song right now, Digging in Deep, and I'm going to be laying my vocal down and presenting it to him. And we will go back and forth. He's on the East Coast, and we're going to kind of go back and forth until we're in the studio together. But I have plans to do lots of things. I'm doing my best to keep things as close to my chest, vest, whatever that saying is, because I don't want anyone's input or comments or vibe. I know what I want to do. And I get to call my own shots now. I don't have to clear it with anyone. I don't have to, you know, none of that. I get to just be me. And I'm recently divorced. Again, recently divorced. And I just feel like this time is my time. That I have no one, no eggshells to walk on, no contemplation, no conversation, no anything. I get to just be and do whatever I want to be and do. And that feels so good. So good. But don't get me wrong. I have the time of my life. And I will say, and I know you have more questions, but this is just, this has been a segment of my life. Right. It doesn't define me one way or another. I am still the rock and roll girl from 1988. You know, she's still here. She's just a little wiser, a couple more wrinkles around the eyes. But I am still and always will be that rock girl that came to LA to get a record deal. And that fire is still inside of me.
Awesome. So speaking of music and stuff, what do you, do you have any intentions of reforming the Femme Fatale at all, or what's the?
Well, that's the big question, and I've had.
It is, and everybody's probably been asking you that. So.
Yes, and well, actually, this is the first time in an interview, really, that I think that it was just called out like that. But I have had lots of people when the news broke. The question was, are you putting Femme Fatale back together? And you know, I did just release the live CD when I was on tour with Cheap Trick, when the band was on tour with Cheap Trick. And boy, talk about great memories of that. And then, you know, I formed the female version of Femme Fatale back in 2013. So the natural progression would be to do that. And so, but I don't have a band. The boys from that band, you know, we lost Billy D'Angelo 9 years ago, and I would not put the band together in the original form if I was to do that. So, you know, but I mean, I love the idea. I can't say yes or no that that's happening, but I love the idea. I mean, I think that that kind of makes sense. But I don't have any plans right this second, but I do know I'm coming back to rock and rock the house big time. And this new song that I'm working on right now is, it's so good. I wish I could say who I'm working with, but I'm doing my best to just kind of keep it all chill right now, because again, I don't need or desire anyone's input. I just am here to let the fans and friends of me know that I love them, that there is more music from me, and I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I'm still here.
Awesome. We can't wait to hear it.
Thank you.
And didn't you just release a video or something? Was that...
Yeah, so I was in the studio with a band called Angry Hill out of Boston. They've released, you know, people should really look them up. They have 8 albums. They're the real deal. The singer actually was on stage at Live Aid, singing on stage with the Live Aid production. And he's a badass, yes. His name is Keith Dennehy. They're signed with Indie Tunes out of Canada. And they invited me to do this duet with him. And I went into the studio with them. And we ended up recording a song together called Leave the Lights On. And then we did a video for it as well. And that was released back on March 8th. Okay. And then June 27th, Kevin Gutcher from Omen and of Gods and Monsters, we released a duet that we worked on together called Save Me. And that just got dropped, you know, just a few weeks ago. So, you know, I've been doing things and, you know, I'm an artist, I'm a creator, I'm a musician. I love doing all sorts of things. And so, you know, we had some downtime waiting for the tour to start up, and I've been busy. I don't just sit around and go to Starbucks all day like everybody thinks. I'm busy. I do stuff, and I work in television, and people know that too. So, yeah, I love living life to the fullest, and I have a lot of things that I still want to do that are on my vision board, etc. So, yeah, stay tuned. I mean, there's lots of good stuff.
Awesome. So, did Femme Fatale record an album that did not get released? Is that what I?
Well, what it was, we did demos for the second album. And that was around the time that everything was kind of changing at the label. We were offered the second leg of the Cheap Trick tour, and I was getting my bags packed. This was February 1989, I guess, maybe. And I had my bags packed, ready to go, thinking we're going to tour again. And the label took support away for the tour and said, "We know we want you back in the studio." Mm-hmm. And so at that point, you know, we had really lost our cheerleaders from the label at Christmas time. They kind of cleaned house and they brought in a whole new group of people. Bret Hartman, they brought in. It's funny that I remember these names. I don't really know the people all that well, but I remember the name. Bret Hartman came in and his band was Pretty Boy Floyd. And when that happened, it just kind of changed the whole landscape at the label. We didn't have our cheerleaders anymore, but we did. They did put us in the studio to record our demos. Actually, they didn't put us in the studio. We took it upon ourselves to go into the studio and record our demos. We presented them to the label and they said, "Go back to the drawing board." And so those demos I held on to for years. And there's some great songs in there. One More for the Road is a great song that I co-wrote with Jack Conrad, who's written for Heart and various artists. That song is really good. Lady in Waiting is great. We did a remake of the classic Janis Joplin, Piece of My Heart. So there was some pretty good stuff on there. And I held on to that music for years and years and years. And then F&A Records contacted me, asked me if I had any music to release. And I said, "Well, I do have this CD of music that I've been carrying around forever." And they were just meant to be demos, but we turned it into a release. And that's what we released.
Nice.
Yeah, about 3 years ago, we released that. And then recently, we released live tracks from the Cheap Trick Femme Fatale tour. And I'll tell you what, I said this in an interview last night, but when I put that CD on in my car and could hear the magic and the excitement of a baby band getting ready to go out on their first tour with Cheap Trick, and you hear the excitement in our voices and the drummer, and we're all in our little huddle and you can hear them saying, you know, "Are you ready? Are you ready, Lorraine? Are you ready?" And then you hear the MC of the night, you know, "MCA recording artist, Femme Fatale." Mm-hmm. I got tears. I burst out in tears the first time I heard it, because it just took me back to the excitement, the fire, all of that stuff. And I still get that feeling when I drive into Hollywood over Mulholland and see the field of diamonds, the lights, you know, I'm still that. Right. There's still, that never goes away. That never goes away with you, I'm sure. There's right. still music you put on and you remember moments. You remember being a teenager and going to that concert with that band. And that never goes away. Rock and roll, when you love rock and roll, it stays with you. It doesn't matter how young or old you are, it stays with you and it never changes. That's who you are. We're rock and roll people. We live it, love it. That's it.
So which was your favorite song singing for the band? Did you have a personal favorite that you like to sing all the time? Or
Red. 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 The song Red, because that was my mark on that brand, and that was exciting. I was so excited when we released that song, when we went into the studio. I couldn't believe that I was going to be attached to eternity with this band by releasing that song, and that feels so good. And I loved the song. I loved my performance. I loved what the band did with it. We got to perform it live a few times before that day in May. And I love the song. But yeah, I mean, some of the classics, you know, Rev It Up was always one of my favorites because that's what we opened up the show with. And the band does a big excitement, you know, getting it geared up, getting the crowd going. And then I run out on stage and, you know, just bring it to another level. So that I love doing that song so much. I loved Crying. I thought that that was a great song. And, you know, getting people to, you know, bring out their lighters or their cell phones. I love doing that song. Just that, again, that Field of Diamonds. I just love that vibe. Obviously, Edge of a Broken Heart is great. But I would say probably my most favorite of their catalog is Hellraisers.
Nice.
Hands down. Love, love, love. It's energetic. It's in your face. It's aggressive. And that's kind of how I am. In your face and aggressive.
So would you have any advice for younger people growing up to, if they wanted to get involved with a band or?
First of all, I'm not a fan of giving advice because I believe that people need to figure out things on their own. Like I rarely ask people's opinions. Because I think opinions don't matter because opinions are, they come to you, but they're that person's experience. Right. And that's what, how they frame their opinion is from their life experience. My life experience is 1,000% different from your life.
Right.
Experience.
Totally, totally different than.
Yeah. So I don't really want you, Marv, as sweet and awesome as you are, to give me advice. I mean, you know, we might want to talk about things, but, you know, I can't do things the way that you think I might want to do them because it's different for you. You're a man, you're a certain age, you have certain tastes, and it's different. And I'm different too. So I'm not a fan of giving advice, but a lot of people like to ask advice. And the only things that I can really say is be true to yourself, listen to your gut, work your ass off. That's the best advice for young people getting into the biz or wanting to be into a band. You know, the work ethic is the most important thing. If you look at Nita Strauss, one of the hardest working women I've ever known in my life. Lives and breathes her guitar and has since the day I met her. And look where she is. She deserves every bit of the fairy tale life that she's living. And when I say fairy tale, I don't mean easy. You know, she's busy. It's hard work, you know, and it's hard on your body and your fingers. But she looks amazing. She's kicking ass. Demi Lovato, Alice Cooper, the releases that she's done. And I would say my advice is if you really want this, do it and do it 1,000%. Grace Bowers, guitar player, how old is she? Is she 17, 18? I'm not exactly sure. Do you know who that is that I'm talking about?
No, just ring a bell right now.
Google Grace. Grace is an amazing guitar player with this crazy blonde, wonderful curly hair. I met her through Britt because Britt told me about her and she said, you have to check out this guitar player. She said, I think that she's going to be hugely famous. And she's right. And she lives and breathes and eats her guitar. She just played on the Grand Ole Opry stage recently. Wow. She's played with Slash recently. I mean, the carpet, red carpet is rolled out for her. And why is that? It's because she's worked her ass off. And she's very young and she continues to work her ass off. And so that's my best advice. You know, is it fun to go hang out at the Rainbow on a Friday and Saturday night? Yes. However, if you're at home working on your craft, that's quite a better route to go.
That's some advice though.
Yeah.
So you talked about a duet. Who would you like to do a duet with if you had the opportunity? I know someone mentioned David Lee Roth, but is there who else would you love to do one with?
Well, you know, I've been asked that question so many times, and that's how all of this came about with Lou Gramm. So my top three have always been Lou Gramm, Paul Rogers, David Lee Roth. So I know Paul's in Canada, but I would love that. And I would love David Lee Roth. I mean, there are plenty more, but those have always been my top three. If I need to shift gears because I don't get to stay with that top three anymore, then Steven Tyler would be amazing. The singer from Måneskin would be amazing. Damiano would be amazing. But I would love to work with a female artist. And I'm going to do a little tease here. I might be doing a duet with a female artist later this year or the top of next. And I'm just going to give a tease. Yes, I can only give a tease.
Oh, come on.
I know, but I can only give a tease.
Is she someone very famous? Or
It's someone that has said yes to me and said that they've never done that before. And they've never done a duet with someone before. And so that might happen. And that is really exciting to think about. And
something to look forward to.
And yeah, and I will say, you know, when I first started talking with Lou, that was one of the things that he said, is he said, you know, we're going to blow a lot of minds with this. And I can't wait for that to come out. I don't have a date or anything. There's still a lot of work to do. But I think also with this female artist, I think we would blow a lot of minds. And that is what the text messaging back and forth was. We would blow a lot of minds with this. So that's going to happen at some point.
So you said recently or a while ago in an interview that if it wasn't for music, you'd be into politics. Is that something that you'd still be, think that you'd be into at all? Or
when I was in college, it was music and journalism.
Okay.
I love the idea of Washington, D.C. I love the idea of, I'm not a fan of politics in 2024. I'm not a fan of politics 2020, but the old school politics that I remember, right. I loved that vibe. I loved just the idea of Washington and, you know, making a difference and changing things. I follow Jason Flom. I don't know if you know who that is. Jason was an executive at Atlantic Records. He now is involved heavily in politics in the way that helping people that have been incarcerated wrongfully.
Right. I watch a lot of shows and documentaries on stuff like that. It's very interesting.
Interesting. And I'm fascinated by it. And gosh, if I could put my toe into that arena on any level to help people that have been unjustly imprisoned, wow. And that has nothing to do with celebrity or posting that on my Instagram. That would just be, as a human being, that would be amazing. But then at the same time, I mean, I do love celebrity. I do love fun. I actually watched Aaron Brockovich, the movie, last weekend. And that's based on a true story. And, you know, gosh, I mean, to make a difference like that, I mean, those are the rock stars of the world for reals, people that really make a difference, you know. But I'm happy doing my thing and putting my lashes on and having a good time. I mean, I'm funny. I'm a lot of different people. I think we all are if we're really honest.
Right. So you co-produced the Ex-Wives of Rock. Would you ever see the possibility of that returning at all on TV?
Oh, I would love for it to return. So many people have loved that show so much. And some people have missed it. So it's actually great to be able to talk about it again. Some of the episodes are on YouTube. And I'm really proud of that show. 54 episodes, 3 seasons.
Wow, I didn't realize this.
Yeah. I was a creator and executive producer. I thought we were getting a season four. And when we didn't, that's when I got my job at Renegade 83. And I am the senior casting producer, senior casting director there. I've been there for 8 years. And I would love for the show to come back. I don't really anticipate that happening, but you know, you never say never. I never thought I was going to be the singer for Vixen. You know, you never know what's around the corner.
You never know what's going to, the future's going to bring. So
you have no idea. But also, you know, Charisse lives out here in Palm Springs with me, and you know, we're doing a couple of things together too. So I can just say life is good. Life is interesting. Life is fun. I do my best to keep it positive, keep it fun, keep it wild, keep it weird. I love entertaining. That's what I do. That's why I think I'm here, is to entertain and have people jump on board and forget what their lives are like and just, and laugh with me, at me. I'm okay with being the brunt of the joke. I don't care. It's okay. Yeah, it's true. I love to make people laugh, and I'm a goofball, and yeah, I'm a trip.
So that's probably about all the questions I had to ask you. Is there a way to, for fans and stuff, to keep in touch with you? I follow you on Instagram. I noticed your X account. You know, you don't really on there very much anymore. So but what are the ways there to stay in touch and keep?
Well, the best way is Instagram for sure, because I'm doing my best active on that, and I do have a subscription page on there. Like for 99 cents a month, you can subscribe to special content. And nice. I mean, I literally, this is going to sound probably so weird to people, but I feel like my subscribers are my true rock family. I really do. And when I wake up in the morning, they're the first people that get a message from me, because I just feel like they're paying attention and they want to hear from me, and they've put their money where their mouth is. 99 cents a month is nothing. But they've taken the time to sign up, and that is a bunch of nonsense. That's so hard to do. And so I just feel indebted to them that they care and that they love me and they want to see what I'm up to. So I give a shout out to them in the morning. They see things before anybody else, and they see things that I don't post regular. I mean, I usually, what I do is I post for them certain things in the morning, and then I post to my regular followers. But they always see things first. I might share something that I posted with my subscribers to the rest of everybody, but it's hours, maybe days later. They know about the news first. They know about
If anything comes up, like a reunion with Femme Fatale or any, or you said not, it wouldn't be a reunion, but anything like that, you do probably do it to your subscribers first.
My subscribers are going to know about it first.
Then I'm going to sign up. So you
got to. Oh, you're sweet. You're sweet. Yes. They get the news first, and then everybody gets it later. But yeah, the best way is Instagram for sure, and be a subscriber. The other way is through my website, LorraineLewisRocks.co. You can send me a personal message through there. My website is going, it's active to give me messages, but you cannot purchase anything right now because I'm revamping it. It's pink right now, and we're going gold because I shot with Glenn LeFerman, famous rock photographer. We have some pictures that are going to blow people's minds. Yeah, I'm excited about that. So, yeah.
Awesome. I can't wait.
I've got work to do. I'm so busy. It's so fun.
Well, that's awesome. And thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really had a fun time. I think this is the longest interview I've ever done. I'm actually surprised that
we could stay here for longer.
I have chat for hours about stuff. That's amazing.